I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I grew up in a home in Mississauga. The same house my parents brought me to from the hospital is the home they live in now. And as a child, I would hear stories about kids moving when they'd be new to our school or when they'd leave our school. And even just going from Markham to Mississauga, I would listen to them like they had traveled and seen the world. I would beg my neighbors to switch houses with my family, even just for a month. I mean, the layout was the same. And if we switched, at least we could all say that we had moved before. Something had happened. It never happened. They never agreed. The house is on a quiet street. It's a crescent, so there isn't much traffic. And there are full sidewalks on both sides of the street. And whenever we had guests, I know a strange concept now, but when we did have guests as a child, when they would be leaving, when they would drive their cars back up the street to the main road, I would run alongside their cars as fast as I could on my sidewalk, each time determined to be running just as fast as that car was moving. In hindsight, the guests probably slowed down their cars. They drove off waving back to me as I was huffing and puffing, but we only realize those kinds of things in hindsight. In those moments, for a few seconds each time I did it, when I was as fast as a car, I truly thought I was gifted, like they had told me about in church. I was an X-Men. I had the abilities. But then the car would win the race. Every time, the car would speed up and get ahead of me and was gone, moving further and further away. Humor me, but maybe the ascension was a little bit like this. The disciples are walking along with Jesus, sticking with them as far as Bethany, and they're thinking, this is amazing. I'm still with him. I'm keeping up with this guy who was raised from the dead. But then Jesus withdrew and was carried up to heaven. At first, maybe going just out of reach of the disciples, and then a little further and a little further until he was gone. And the disciples finally couldn't see him anymore. And yes, the gospel says that they worshiped him and were in great joy eventually. But maybe for a moment, these disciples didn't want to let go. Maybe a handful of them even tried to hold on. Maybe even one or two ran alongside for a little bit. But eventually, Jesus too got away from them and disappeared on a road that they could not get to. The Ascension, the important feast day that we recognize today, is actually among the four Gospels only mentioned this outright in the Gospel of Luke. In the other three Gospels, the Ascension is somewhat presupposed, but not clearly laid out and illustrated like we hear today. So does it really matter? Why is this the grand ending to the Gospel of Luke? Why are these the last words of the last chapter here? What would happen without the Ascension? Without the Ascension, there's no way to explore and learn about the entirety of who Jesus is. Don't get me wrong, without the Ascension, Jesus still makes a mighty name for himself in our scripture. Following through on parts we hear in the Old Testament, he's born to a brave young woman in a manger, escaping death even as an infant. His ministry is remarkable. As preacher Barbara Lundblad puts it, without the Ascension, Jesus' feet carried him where others would not go, brought him to tables surrounded by odd companions, gathered children on his lap, and questioned the disparities between the wealthy and the poor. Still pretty good. Without the Ascension, Jesus broke bread, shared wine, washed feet. And without the Ascension, Jesus is still arrested, crucified, and died on that cross, and rose from the dead. And in the Gospel of Luke, met women at the tomb, two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and even more in Jerusalem. Without the ascension, it's still a great and wonderful story, a journey. But that's where it would end for Jesus. And there's no way to explore and learn about the entirety of who he is without the ascension. And without it, we, like the disciples, cannot explore the entirety of who we are as seekers, as believers, as witnesses, in Jesus' own words. We would simply be remembering a teacher, a rebel, from some 2,000 years ago. We could only think about how great he would have been and how strange and wonderful it would have been for the people around him, the things that they would have seen and done. When I was applying for postulancy, which is a step of discernment before ordination, long after I had finished running alongside cars on the street, but in that process, it starts with an interview. And during my interview, at the end, the interviewers asked me if I had any questions. And I had always learned, I'd read it online, I had learned it from people, a great question to ask is, do you have any concerns about me? It's a great question, because they can talk about their apprehensions and I could address them. So I thought, this interview is no different, and I asked the same question. Do you have any concerns? And one interviewer responded, well, you mentioned God a lot by name, but not Jesus so much. And I froze. I said, are you sure? They said, I'm pretty sure. And I immediately regretted asking that question. I wanted to shake their hands and walk out that door, because not talking about Jesus or enough about Jesus, that's a pretty big faux pas in an interview like the one I was doing. And I tried to explore in the moment what might have been the case, why I felt maybe more comfortable talking about God, talking about the Holy Spirit. But I kind of fumbled my way through because I was in shock. And when I got the call the next day that I had passed my interview, it was one of the few times in my life, my husband will tell you, that I was speechless and I had nothing to say. I was shocked. I was overjoyed. But I still felt I felt uneasy because of the feedback I'd gotten. I didn't want to be a priest or a believer who was afraid to talk about Jesus. So I put in a lot of work and a lot of prayer into learning about Jesus the Son. Jesus Christ, who not only lived on this earth, but ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. There were some parts I struggled with, some parts I still struggle with. And I had to explore how Jesus's life, his ministry, death, and ascension was part of my faith, and how it affected me now, why it mattered and grounded me now. And it's not just because I was following a wonderful example that this teacher had laid out, that this Jesus had laid out for us. It's because I believe, and eventually, finally, was able to articulate that I believe Jesus was alive in my life now, in the lives of those around me, in the world around me, forever. This is the story of Easter. This is the ascension. Without it, we, like the disciples, cannot explore the entirety of who we are as witnesses. Despite imagining us and Jesus without the ascension, it is the grand ending to the Gospel of Luke. It's the last words to the last chapter of this piece of scripture. What happens because of the ascension? Well, some of you might have seen the joke going around online. With the ascension, Jesus started to officially work from home. But besides that very obvious truth I heard, the Gospel of Luke says that while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. However it's depicted in art, or however you might imagine it, with the ascension, the journey of Jesus does not end, but is rather positioned to continue and speaks to a Christ that is living even now. With the ascension, an understanding of God the Creator and Father in heaven also comes to clearly include more. As Professor Mark Tranvik writes, with the ascension, God is also one who knows loneliness, betrayal, rejection, thirst, and even death. As Jesus is carried into heaven, his hands are lifted in a blessing. The same hands that were pierced have holes in them. In these last moments, those hands bless the disciples before they disappeared going into heaven. With the ascension, it's not over. And forever, we can continue to explore and learn about the ever-living love and hope of Jesus entirely. And so with the ascension, we, like the disciples, can explore more fully who we are and who we're called to be. Because in knowing him, we're more able to fully know ourselves. We do not gather in buildings or online or in the streets or in our homes to simply be in remembrance together. With the ascension, we come together to give thanks and participate, to continue in hope and being blessed on this journey that began so long ago. With the ascension, we continue in faith, in times of celebration and laughter, and in frustration and heartache. It's not so easy to see that car drive into the distance, farther and faster than our legs could ever carry us. It's not easy to feel alone or abandoned by a Christ who we cannot touch and speak to the way we want, when we want. It's not easy to explore how the absence of Christ is at the same time the presence of Christ that we need. But with the ascension, we are strengthened as believers, continuing on the journey of life in faith. So on this day, as we recognize the feast of Jesus' ascension into heaven, let us remember why it's a blessing to our lives and our story. And let us worship God in joy. Amen.